And we welcome everyone back and joined by the outstanding general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mount Carmel's own, Brett Veach. Brett, congratulations on what the Chiefs have accomplished so far. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it. It's always good to catch back up with you guys.
All right, so let's start with this. I'm going to go in a completely different direction than maybe some people would go, but whenever Jack Ham and I would broadcast a Penn State-Rutgers game, the first guy we picked out as the key to the game is somehow do you slow down Isaiah Pacheco. What did you see in him? You're in round seven. What did you see in him that you thought had the potential to make a contribution for you?
Well, I mean, just rewinding back to last year's draft, I think one of the things as we were progressing through draft meetings is that that we noticed was there was a large volume of running backs that were kind of graded later in the draft. I mean, I think typically, you know, I'm just spitballing here, round six and seven, we might have a handful of guys, say 8 to 10 that we like, but for some reason, the number was extremely large last year. There might have been 25, 30 guys, and I kind of joke with my staff members that we're going to have to spend a little extra time doing all these running backs because there's so many. Surely one's going to pop out and make an impact this year. And I think when you go back and you watch Isaiah's tape, I mean, the one thing you notice, obviously he has tremendous size and build, extremely powerful runner. The one thing that we didn't know and maybe why he fell in the draft a little bit is that they didn't really throw the ball much. And you know, this is such a passing league and yeah. You know, route running from the running back position and hands and ball skills and what have you is so important. Not a lot of production in the pass game, and you know, we were kind of wondering if it would be a good scheme fit for, you know, the amount of times we throw the football. And as we continue to go through the tape and watch it and see him at the All-Star games and at the combine and as pro days, did a really good job with that. And so I think the combination of his size, his great speed for his size, and then ultimately his hands, and he's done an outstanding job in both pass pro and pass receiving.
In fact, I mean, that's something that you're right. Rutgers, the passing game has not been proficient for them, and he could not get involved. Unlike maybe a Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I mean, Jack all the time leading up to the draft before you guys picked him. Jack, that's all Jack could talk about. It's that linebacker in him that's coming out, Brett. Okay, when he sees a guy like that. All right, this has been an interesting time for Kansas City because of the way everything worked. The Tyreek Hill deal, and then you had to make some moves to make sure you had enough wide receivers that could not only play but play proficiently for what Patrick wants to do. What was the process of that, of trying to get a number of guys in there that could somehow make up for the loss of a great talent like that?
Well, sure. I mean, always want to pursue every avenue you can, and you know, after we made that trade, we went out and signed Valdez Scantling from Green Bay and brought in a veteran special teams receiver and Watson from Tampa. And then we just continued to, you know, keep our eyes open in the draft and had an opportunity to draft Sky Moore, a guy we really liked. But it really never stops there. And I think any time that you have any transactional periods that you can continue to add depth and talent to your roster, you just keep your eyes open. And then as you know, later in the season, we had a chance to make a trade and bring Kadarius Toney here, and he was a guy that, you know, we were really high on coming out a couple years ago. So I think the one thing that, you know, we exercised was a lot of patience, and you know, on one end, when you make a trade like that, there's probably that instant impulse to just do, you know, as much as you can, as fast as you can, but I think the longer you're in this game, you realize if you're just patient, sometimes you can start adding you know, over time, and the additions that you make will be sound both from a production standpoint on the field and from a cap standpoint. So I think our staff did a great job of just, listen, we're always going to be aggressive and we're always going to keep our eyes open, but let's just be patient. You know, let's grab an MVS before the draft. Let's maybe do some stuff in the draft, and we'll have time, and, you know, the Super Bowl isn't until February. Let's not try to, you know, make some foolish mistakes just out of, you know, being hasty in our decision-making. So I think we just practice good patience, and we waited to values to come to us, and you know, we were able to just, again, continue to add, you know, obviously Juju Smith-Schuster, too, is a guy that we came out of the gate signing, too. So we were able to add, you know, two veteran receivers, a depth level veteran receiver prior to the draft. We added a young guy in the draft and another young guy throughout the course of the season. So I think it was just the the patience of our staff to just be smart. And now we have a really good combination of size and speed and athleticism, and I think it's working really well with Pat.
What's interesting is that I believe, and you can correct me on this, of the 22 players you had available on defense for the AFC Championship game in Cincinnati, 8 were rookies. How did that come about for you, and how pleased are you with the payoff you've had from those younger guys?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that was a key element of the trade. Want to trade a dynamic talent like Tyreek Hill, but when we talked about just this window here, we're entering with Pat and having the potential ability to add receiving talent. You got to make sure you have good depth on both sides of the football. So I think we thought in the off season that we would have opportunities to maybe not replace Tyreek player for player, but do that with a combination of different talents and different skill sets. But again, the value was getting the cap space and the draft pick to really start to add and develop and grow our defense. And that was one thing. Obviously, we had so much young talent and skill on the offensive side that we had some obviously good players on defense, but we just wanted to really balance this roster out and dedicate it. A lot of that, the trade stuff that we got, we dedicated a lot of those assets, to the defense. And I'd be lying if I sat here and said that, all these young guys that we drafted that was part of this long-term plan would be doing what they did now. But I think it's tremendous credit to the coaching staff for getting young talent that we identified, but really getting the most out of them and getting them up to speed. And from rookie minicamps to OTAs to training camp and all the time spent with them, and these kids being able to come in here, adjust to a higher level of competition, and also understand their assignments that are a lot more complex than the college game, and continue to grow and develop, and then see it really hit where it needs to be at the end of the season is just it's really remarkable. And again, it's a credit to the players that we brought in, credit to my staff for helping get these guys here, and again to the coaching staff for spending the amount of time with them and getting them up to speed.
You talked about growth. You've been doing this job now for a while. Everybody grows in their job. Where do you feel you're better at it? You're not going to be perfect, but where do you feel you're better at the job now than maybe even a couple, 3 years ago?
Well, I think it's just the example I just mentioned with the Tyreek Hill trade. I think it's just the patience. I think we're all naturally wired to go 100 miles an hour and be aggressive, and I certainly think I'm probably labeled one of the more aggressive GMs, but I think within that context, I think over the years I've developed a better balance. We did that a couple of years ago when there was really no offensive linemen. We had lost to Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl, and we had two tackles that were out with injuries, one retired, and the other one had a season-ending injury. We had some interior offensive linemen that we lost, and we're able to kind of be patient and slowly build that line back with Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith and Sinjone Tooney, and then we waited toward the end of the free agency period, and right before the draft we traded for Orlando Brown. So I think it's the evolution of kind of combining the patience with the aggressiveness, and like I said, you fast forward to this offseason, we traded for Tyreek, but we were able to be patient, yes, address the receiver position and bring in guys like Juju and MVS, but also wait for the draft and then wait for an opportunity to add someone like Kadarius Toney later in the season.
Yeah, I think the guy that retired, I spent a lot of time with at football practice, Stefan Wisniewski. He's here.
Yeah.
He's here at Penn State now, working here.
Yeah, great guy.
One final. He is. He's the best, and he speaks very highly of you, by the way. One final question for you. What has the Hunt family and their support meant, and what's it been, the relationship with Andy?
They've been, the Hunt family's been obviously just amazing to work with. And I think the cool thing about working here, and especially coming from a place like Mount Carmel, growing up in Pennsylvania, football is so important. But, in our state, there's such a rich tradition and history with football. And when you have a chance to, and you're blessed with an opportunity to work in the NFL. I mean, you're working with a family that is equally embedded in that kind of rich football tradition, and you know, the stuff that, you know, Lamar Hunt, our founder, you know, the history is so deep with the NFL and the, you know, the AFC. It's just incredible, and he's not one of these owners that does it because, you know, he's bored and has nothing to do. I mean, football is his life, and it's been part of him, and so I think having the ability to work with, you know, an owner who truly is intertwined with the history of the game has been special. And then the same thing goes with Coach. I mean, our relationship is truly unique and special, and I've been with him since day one, and he's taught me everything I know. So being able to provide him, you know, with the knowledge and ability that I have is really just kind of a mirror image of him, because he's taught me everything I know. But it's been a lot of fun. I couldn't ask for two better people to work with. It's a great city, great community, and it's going to be an exciting game. I mean, two really, really good teams going at it, so it should be a lot of fun.
Wish you nothing but the best of luck in this, and Brett, obviously you've made everybody in this area very proud with what you've done. Congratulations on what you've accomplished to this point.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Steve. I appreciate that, and hope you guys are well, and hope you guys enjoy the big game in a few weeks.
Brett, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Really appreciate the time. I know you slid us in there, and that was great.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. No problem, you guys. And hopefully, you know, we do this again next year, because that means we'll be back in the game again.
that would be great. We look forward to that.
Awesome. Awesome, guys. You all take care, all right?
Yep. Thanks, Brett.
You bet.